Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be talking about unity of the faith today. This was a very important subject to the Apostle Paul. He talked about it in just about all of his letters. And Jesus, in his prayer in John chapter 17, also talked about the unity of the faith and how he expressed his desire that we should all learn to love each other, care for each other, and treat the body of Christ as something very special, which it is. And so we are going to talk about that today. There are some essential doctrines in the Christian faith. I'm not going to be talking too much about that. There are some essential doctrines that we need to agree on, but mostly I'm just going to be talking about the attitude or the perception, the idea that we are all one together in the body of Christ, even though we all have our failings and we all have our doctrinal opinions and interpretations and differences, but also we have a great bonding issue and a great bonding that holds us together, and that is the fact that we love Jesus Christ, that we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And so that is the glue, you might say, that is what binds Christians together, and we're bound by the love of Christ. We're bound by God's love for Jesus and God's love for us. And so there is unity in the Christian faith. There is unity in all the denominations. There's unity in all of the people all over the world who claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today through the eyes of the Apostle Paul, and also through the eyes of the Lord Jesus himself. Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1, and this is Paul. He's talking to a group of believers in Ephesus, a baby Christian church. They don't have much to rely on in terms of history. They don't have much to rely on in terms of tradition or anything that was handed to them by their forefathers. They're just relying on the Holy Spirit and on the teaching that Paul has given them. And so he's trying to nourish them and nurture them and bring them along into a mature body of Christ, a mature faith. And so this is what he says to them. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, let me just stop right there and we'll look at a couple of things here that Paul has said. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Well, each of us has received a calling from the Lord Jesus. Each of us, when you became a Christian, when I became a Christian, when you became a Christian, you were given a calling by the Lord, and you may not even have known it. You may even today still not know it, but you have been given a calling by the Lord. You're not called to be a bench warmer. You're not called to stand on the sidelines and watch the game. You're not called to let other people always do all the work and carry all the load. You are called to do your share. We are the body of Christ, and Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body of Christ is made up of many who have many different gifts. Each gift is important. The lesser gifts are just as important as the greater gifts. Everybody can't stand in the podium and preach on Sunday. And that's okay, because some people are needed to usher other people in. Some people are needed to turn the lights on and sweep the floor and all kinds of other jobs. And so we are each given a gift and a calling. And 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass, or he will do it. Faithful is he who called you, and he will see it come to pass. And so God has the faith, and he gives us a portion of faith. Each of us was given a portion of faith that we too can step forward and do great and mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. And so we have a calling on our life. I didn't realize that I was a Christian for many, many years. I did not realize God had a calling on my life to preach the word and to go to the nations, but as I started to seek the Lord in greater measure and started to be obedient to Him in greater measure, then He revealed that calling to me and it became obvious to me what He wanted me to do. And so if you will seek the Lord with all your heart, seek Him and lay aside your own desires, lay aside your own will, your own pleasures, and your own plan for your life, and just say, Lord, show me your way. Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you do that, He will be faithful and true to reveal to you your calling. Faithful is He who called you, and He will see it come to pass. He doesn't do it by Himself. He works through human agents. He works through human people, and nobody is special in God's eyes. Yes, we're all special in a way, but nobody is so special that God can't work with them. He can't deal with them. Billy Graham was a poor boy growing up in the woods of North Carolina, and God touched him and raised him up to be a great evangelist. And so God is no respecter of persons. Yes, we are all special, but He is no respecter of persons, and He can take and use any person. He's just looking for a willing heart. He's looking for willing vessels to go and share, and willing vessels to do the work of the kingdom and be the vessels that He calls us to be, that we be filled with His word, filled with the desire to share the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying world. And so Paul says we are to walk worthy of the calling in which we are called. And so when you come to realize your calling, when you come to understand the calling God has for you, then it behooves you, you have the responsibility, you have the obligation to be worthy of that calling. In other words, to fulfill that calling in the way God desires you to fulfill it and to move forward. And God, again, He will give you the strength. He'll give you the provision. He'll give you everything you need. He'll give you the guidance. The Holy Spirit guides you. He is our counselor. He is our intercessor, our advocate. And so the Holy Spirit will be with you for you to do what God has called you to do. So you don't need to hesitate. You don't need to be filled with fear. You don't need to hold back. Just move forward with boldness and confidence, one step at a time. And if you do that one step at a time, then the steps start to build up. And first thing you know, you're up there on a high plateau serving the Lord, and that is His will. And so Paul says then in verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And so we have to have a humble spirit. We have to have a contrite spirit, and that comes with recognizing the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. It comes with recognizing the fact that without God we are nothing. It comes with recognizing the fact that with God we can do all things. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when we understand that Jesus is for us and the Holy Spirit is with us, and that God Almighty is behind us, nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can hold us back from completing and finishing God's will. That great work that God started in you, He wants to complete it. He wants to finish it. And so with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Well, what is long suffering? Well, long suffering means that you are willing to endure. You are willing to persevere, that even in the face of great trials, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of difficult circumstances, and sometimes it seems that you're getting nowhere, and sometimes it seems as if everybody is against you, that is long suffering. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And so when we have long suffering and we have perseverance, we will see those things accomplished that God desires for our life. And then the next phrase in verse 2, Paul says, bearing with one another in love. And so this is the hallmark of a Christian believer. This is a hallmark of someone who is a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. Jesus said that they will know us by our love, that the world will know us by our love. Not only our love for each other, not only our love for each believer, but also our love for the world and those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I had an experience just last week. I was out at the Shamba, out at the Living Water Farm, doing some work, hoeing the weeds and stuff, and word was given to me that a lady in the village wanted me to come pray for her son. He was a very severe diabetic. I didn't know that at the time, but she wanted me to come pray for him. I didn't know what the circumstances of his illness was, and so I dropped everything that I was doing, and I went and I prayed with this boy. He was a 17-year-old boy, and he was in some kind of a diabetic coma or a daze, you might say. He wasn't passed out, but he was very, very dazed out. He had very little response. He just couldn't even talk. He couldn't make any sense. And so I prayed for him, and I prayed for his mother. I prayed for two other children in the family. They were all Muslim, by the way. And we were in a house. The father wasn't there. And so I went and prayed for them because I have a love for the people, even those that don't know Jesus Christ, even those who are not part of the body of Christ. And so my love for them came forward. It came forth in a way that I was willing to go and do whatever it took, take time out of my day. And it ended up, these people also needed money because this boy ended up in the hospital a day or so later. And they needed money that they could not get out of the hospital without additional money, and on. And so you don't know where the Lord is going to take you when you get into a situation like this. Many people are afraid to minister because they don't want to be drawn out of their comfort zone. They don't want to be drawn out of their routine, their plan for their life, the things that they have planned, sitting, drinking coffee, or organizing their life down to the last detail without any interruptions or without any distractions. And so people avoid these kind of situations. And so I ended up in these people's home praying for them. It was a very basic home, a mud house with a tin roof. It was very, very broken down. Everything was very poor, very broken down. And the boy ended up in the hospital, but his blood sugar went down and he came to his senses that next day. And so God gave him a tremendous healing. Jesus touched him, gave him a healing, and he then was healed of his diabetic situation. I told the mother, I think you can tell the doctor to start cutting back on the insulin injections because I believe the boy is healed. I believe you can go without all that insulin. And so this is an example. I'm not trying to tell you this story so that you think I'm something great or that I'm boasting in front of you. I'm just telling you this is an example of the kind of love that God wants us to express to the outside world. And you may say, well, there aren't any Muslims around me. Well, maybe there aren't. I don't know. But there are people around us, every single believer. You have people around you who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't know their right hand from the left in terms of their eternal destiny and their calling and what their plan for eternity is. And so as you look around your life and you think about the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, or maybe even in the last week you've had opportunities to go out of your way or to get interrupted in your life, you may have opportunities that you've passed up and that you've not taken because you were afraid to get into a situation where you felt uncomfortable. You were afraid to get into a situation where you would have to share your faith or express your faith. And I just tell you today that if you are long-suffering, if you're willing to suffer a little bit for the gospel, it starts with being able to go where God calls you to go, be obedient where he wants you to be obedient. And sometimes that means giving up on our schedule, our plan, and just taking the Lord's plan for our life and for that day, for that hour, and seeing what the Lord will do with your life. And so we bear with one another with love. We bear their burden. We take on other people's burdens. We take on other people's trials. We take on other people's pain and their agony. And sometimes we take on their misery, and we take on their lack of finances. We take on their lack of health care. We take on all of these things that we may have taken for granted in our own life, that we may think that we have everything organized and in control in our own life. But when you start to take on the suffering of others and bear with one another in love, beloved, you're going to be taken into situations where you start to have compassion, where you start to understand that other people need your help, they need your encouragement, they need your strength, and in many cases, they need to know about Jesus as Lord and Savior. They need to know the good news that maybe you have, but they don't have. And so that is bearing with one another in love. And so we can't judge people. We can't judge people according to their sin. In many instances, Jesus went into villages and he healed all that were sick. Well, do you believe that any in that village had sin? Yes, many, many had sin. Many were in sin right at the time when he was ministering to them. Many were prostitutes. One of the ladies that sat at Jesus' feet at the latter part of his ministry was a former prostitute, that he had delivered her from all those demons of prostitution. And so Jesus didn't hold back ministering to those who were in sin. He did not minister just to the righteous ones. He said the righteous ones, they don't need a doctor. They're already well. He said the ones that need a doctor are the sick ones, and those that need help are those who are trapped in sin. And so he did not hold back. He wanted to minister to every single person the good news and share his love with every single person. And so this is our calling. This is the calling that we are called to be, and we want to walk worthy in that calling. And as we bear with one another in love, we come to find out that there are no differences among us of people all over the world. Beloved, I have had the opportunity, the good pleasure to minister for Jesus in many countries around the world, Mexico, Central America, Canada, all over across the United States, and now six countries in Africa. And so there are people all over in every walk of life. There are people who need to know Jesus. There are people who are in desperate situations, desperate straits, people nearing death, people even dying today who don't know Jesus. And it is up to us to share the good news of the gospel with these people. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we are all unified by the Holy Spirit. Every single person that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is united with other believers by the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God that comes to dwell with us when we make our confession and we say, Jesus, I believe you are Lord of lords and King of kings. I believe you are my Savior. And when we make that confession of faith, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And so we come to that place where we understand that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And so we are given the Holy Spirit to empower us and to counsel us and to be an advocate for us in our battle against the devil and our battle against the world. And so the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we become peacemakers for the kingdom of God. We become peacemakers not only within the body of Christ, but also within the world. Beloved, I live in a place where it is rather violent. I see manifestations of violence every single day, and I'm sure if you get outside of Kansas, you will see that in America too. There are some places in America where it is extremely violent. Some of the inner cities are virtual war zones in America. And in Kenya, it takes a little different tone. It takes a little different look, but there's much violence here in Kenya and actually all over Africa. But without Christians, can you imagine what it would be like all over the world without the unity of peace and the peace of Jesus Christ, and without Christians in the world? Can you imagine what it would be like all over the world? There would just be total chaos, mayhem, and murder, and all kinds of other things. And so the Christians bring peace into the world. We are called to be peacemakers. And so we are administering the bond of peace. Jesus said in John, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so we get peace from Jesus. He is the author of peace. He is the King of peace. And so we get peace from Jesus, and we share that peace that we have, not only in our heart, but in our interactions with other people, our interactions with government, our interactions with our neighbors, with unbelievers. And so we share that peace that we have in our heart, and it makes the world a better place to live. It makes the world a habitable place. It makes the world a place where people want to abide by laws, and they don't need military armaments to enforce the laws all the time. And so we have an opportunity to share that bond of peace with others that we come in contact with. All right, verse 4, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Well, that is a big mouthful of ones right there, but it's a typical Paul phrasism. And what he's saying is there's just one body and one spirit. We're not all a bunch of different spirits. We're not all of a bunch of different bodies. Yes, we meet in different churches. We meet in different denominations. And that is much of it has to do with man's doing. That's not God's doing. But even so, as the different denominations exist today, we can still learn to love each other, learn to call each other brothers and sisters in Christ, learn to love one another, abide with each other. And as we do that, then we show the world that we are united by our love in Christ. There is one body and one spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Our hope is Jesus Christ and eternal life with him. One Lord, that is Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. One faith, our faith is Christianity, that is our faith, but our faith is our belief in the Savior, Jesus Christ, our belief that he is God's Son, that he died for us on the cross, that he shed his precious blood for us, and that with our confession of faith to him, our acknowledgement of him as our Lord and Savior, we can know him for all eternity. We can have our sins covered, and our sins are washed away and are forgotten by God, and so we can have one faith, one baptism. That speaks of the immersion baptism, which is a representation of the washing of our sins. Immersion baptism is a representation of the washing of our sins by the blood of Jesus. There's no magic in the water. There's no magic in people that put us into the water or speak over us. The blessing is that it represents to the world that we believe that our sins are washed away, and the symbolic washing of our bodies by the water is the same as the washing of our sins by the blood of Christ, cleansing us of all unrighteousness. And then we are raised up out of that water. We're raised up just as Jesus was raised up. He was in death, and then he was raised up to walk in newness of life. And so too we in baptism, we're raised up to walk in newness of life, and we are then dedicated to the Lord Jesus. one God, verse 6, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Well, we know that is Jehovah God, the God of all creation, the God of heaven and earth, the God of the universe, who created all things. He created you and I. He created the earth to be inhabited. He created every single person, born and unborn. And so that is the Father, and He is the one, Jehovah. He is the one who we dedicate our life to. He is the one who sits on the throne in heaven, and we look forward to being with Him and with the Lord Jesus and with the Holy Spirit for all eternity when we make our confession of faith and come to the Lord. Well, we'll take up more on this subject, the unity of faith, next week. And there's some other things that we need to discuss in this subject. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank you for those of you who have supported us over the years. And I encourage and invite each and every person out there listening today to sit down and write us out a check. We want to hear from you. Make comment about what you like about the program, what you don't like, maybe, and just let us know that you're listening and that you enjoy these broadcasts. We have projects going in Africa. We're building an orphanage home here in Kenya as well, and preaching crusades. And so I thank you for those of you who've been faithful listeners and supporters of this ministry over the years. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of the broadcast. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.